snowy baby Friday to kick off your morning. Justin and Ailish on the Fan Morning Show. Be careful out there. It's a little white knuckly this morning.
It was. I haven't been able to remove myself from the snowstorm.
What do you mean?
3 for 3 on drives.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had to come downtown last night.
You did a double trip yesterday into the
city. And if I had to rank them, today was probably the easiest.
Oh, really? That's good. So yeah. Our loyal listeners, our snowplow drivers who are out on the grind. Ian, if you're out there, Ian, we love our plow drivers. And they are out there changing lives, keeping the city safe.
I'm hoping this is the last time we shout them out. Love shouting them out.
Mm-hmm.
But what are we at? We're approaching end of Feb.
But then they'll be out of work.
These things keep happening like every... No, it's a contract. They're good, aren't they?
Oh, they just get paid regardless.
And I guess they could clarify that for us.
Yeah,
as well.
Someone will text in. If you get paid regardless, then I don't want to see snow again.
No, I definitely don't want to see snow again. But how are these... They're happening like every 4 weeks? Like, when did I do the snowman? That was the last time it snowed.
That's right. We've had the storm of our generation 4 times this winter.
That's it. We don't do like light snow. We do... just like 24 hours of hell 4 or 5 times.
I don't know if that...
When did winter start working that way?
What would you prefer? 4 times of hell or like a nice light dusting two times a week?
If it just snowed for an hour a couple times a week, it would be very manageable. It would look nice outside, but that's not how it works. It's either no snow and like 10 degrees outside in the middle of February, and then it flips and we get a little precipitation when this cold front hits and... it's absolute a massacre out there.
You know what's getting a workout? My storage containers.
Is it? Are they?
It's like, all right, I'm putting away and getting some spring stuff. It was 12 degrees last weekend. Obviously,
that's
I'm not
aggressive.
Wearing...
you jinxed it going down
to
get spring stuff.
I just mean
mid-feb.
I'm going to grab it. I'm not switching the closets over. But sometimes you think, well, that's got to be it. I've put in the boots in a Tupperware a few times. I've had to go retrieve said winter boots.
That's way too early. You can't be doing that in February.
In terms of storage,
I know you're trying to keep things tidy,
but
that is... I
have the hockey bag in the tub situation previously. I don't have, like you, a garage, a backyard.
Okay, we're not talking about my garage. I don't have 4 bedrooms.
6 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, an ensuite.
I will say, I haven't done condo life for a while, but the day that you can take that winter jacket confidently and tuck it away for like 7 months, oh my God. That's one of the best days of the year.
If we're not there, maybe we're there. Who's got
You're jumping the gun on it big time.
I didn't say I put it away. I grabbed some lighter things.
The boots went downstairs.
First of all, I don't even have it downstairs.
It went in the storage.
In the back of the closet. I just had to get it, just climb.
Okay. So it's not that bad.
No.
If you're going down to a storage room with boots mid-Feb, you're doing it wrong.
No, I'm not that outrageous. I just moved them out of sight, out of mind, trying to like manifest it from not happening.
Okay, that's
but
fair.
Unfortunately, I've had to get back on the hands and knees and find the boots in the back of the closet.
God, I love throwing the winter jacket away. Not looking at it.
Do you put it...
Not
you're
have
the
take
type
up
of guy
space?
That you don't even give it a clean. It's zipped up. There's probably granola bar in the pocket.
Well, I thought you were going to make a comment on the smell of my attire coming in.
What?
Because I was at the cottage wearing that jacket on the weekend, and
it
smells like campfire. I threw it on.
It probably smells like darts.
It smells like
Bud Light.
Campfire.
Like a frat star that you are.
Campfire. Smells like a campfire. And I thought for sure you were going to turn up your nose the moment I came in because I was smelling it while I was walking in. But apparently it's not that bad.
You're all good.
We were actually talking about that. I was like, I've never washed a winter jacket. Maybe my mother did when I was young, but I don't.
So this is it. You're throwing that into a bin. And then in November next year, when you pull it out,
it's going to hang up and air out all summer long in a closet that is outside.
So you're set.
It's not going to be stuffed.
You should put some cedar in.
Cedar? That's what I want to get out. The wood smell.
I'd rather smell like cedar than darts.
It was never darts.
It was never darts.
I'm not a dart guy.
Remember?
No, never mind. I don't want to. I was actually at that game. We can talk about dart guy for a second. I was at that game and
some of
the analysis when I got back was like, man, that dart guy story was really good. Next time there's something like that, you should see if you could write the dart guy story. I didn't see dart guy until after. I didn't see until the memes.
Was that one of the most memorable games you've been to?
It was. I can't actually remember because I was at both of those games in Washington. But the Brian Boyle double overtime goal, one of the most memorable Leaf playoff moments, what, in the last, you know, little run here, last six, 7 years?
Yes.
Brian Boyle's overtime goal, or no, it was Kapanen, and it was Brian Boyle with the, Kapanen. Shows how much I remember it. Kapanen scored, Brian Boyle with the no-look backhand pass, double overtime behind the net. Mm. That was fun. That was fun. But Dark Guy is what everyone remembers from that.
Anybody know what Dark Guy's up
set.
To?
He tried his hand at a few things.
He did. He went through the cycle.
He tried his hand at a few things. I don't know.
Maybe he's a plow driver.
Maybe he's listening right now.
Hey, buddy. Ian is up. Back to the grind. And now it's Ailish time. But I'm going to say one thing. Ian spells his name I-A-I-N. So is that Ian?
I think so.
Or is it Ian?
I think it's Ian.
Ian, let me know, buddy.
Ian Eagle looks like Ian Eagle. Yep, Ian Eagle is not even close to Ian Eagle.
Ian
by the
Eagle,
way.
You're not listening to Ian Eagle.
No.
Ian Eagle, prestige.
He's not teamed up with Charles Davis if he's Ian Eagle.
He's not a broadcaster if he's Ian Eagle.
No, maybe he knew that. You know, Stephen A. Smith added the A he like wrote his first column wherever he wrote that first column. Maybe Ian Eagle is like, I gotta bump this up a little bit.
Ian Eagle is Regal.
It is.
That's why Charles Davis will work with him.
That's why he was comfortable giving you that praise or giving you that suggestion based on the regality of his broadcast partner.
Confirmed from Ian, it's Ian.
How did he confirm that?
He said, Ian, just like Ian, but the Scottish spelling.
Okay.
Quick answer here from our plow drivers this morning. Trevor from Oshawa. Morning, plowing here in Scarborough. Yep, I'm on salary, so I get paid either way. It's been a rather laid-back winter, to be honest.
It has been.
Congrats,
it's like
Trevor.
You get four bad nights.
Okay, well.
Like, just like the rest of us.
All right, happy baby Friday, everybody. Last night, no Toronto sports night, but still got some Leafs news out of the day. Jake Muzzin won't play again this season, and his long-term future still remains in doubt. The Maple Leafs announced that he's going to miss the remainder of the season in the playoffs and will be reevaluated, or they'll readdress the conversation in training camp next year because of that cervical spine
injury.
That
sounded a little ominous, didn't it? Or I guess read a little ominously.
Which part?
The way that they're like, oh, there'll be an update in training camp. Maybe that's just like, oh, we'll revisit.
They don't want people to ask all offseason.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that,
yeah,
that punts it. It's like when Auston Matthews went on the podium day one and said, this will be the last time I talk about this. And we're like, okay, then we won't talk about it. We will respect your privacy. And I think that's the reasoning why they said, see you next training camp. Because it would be a conversation this whole offseason. Are you going to add? What are you going to do with that cap? Is it going to get traded? Like, are you going to do the thing that happened yesterday where players that don't even play hockey anymore get ripped around like Nikita Zaitsev?
Yeah, that's what kind of was. It was those two things happened, that Shea Weber was moved and Jake Muzzin was basically permanently or semi-permanently placed on IR or remained on IR. Mm-hmm. It was like, that's going to be kind of sad if that's the end result of all this.
And I think that's why they said, we won't speak about it until.
And they're not going to do it this year because they don't have to. He's already there and they're already maximizing his LTIR, or they're already using some of his LTIR. So you can't trade him, or that creates a bunch of problems. But it feels like that could be the natural conclusion to this, which sucks because the Leafs love, and Mitch Marner in particular, loves talking about how important he is and how much they want to, you know, have success for him and how much they love having him around and how much he is still a factor on this team. And then it's just like, oh, we got to do this or we're going to be paying cap penalty. And that's kind of the natural and nasty conclusion sometimes to these things. And we're seeing Shea Weber bumped around, a future Hall of Famer, get traded from team to team to team as dead salary just to make sure that teams can at least do their best to maximize their salary cap.
And what you're referring to is yesterday, Vegas receives Dyson Mayo.
I don't want any mayo on my team.
Do you hate mayo? Which is just, I didn't know this guy existed. And Arizona received
He's actually a competent player.
Okay. Well, they received Shea Weber in a fifth round pick.
Yeah. So it's
Weber's contract, 4 years remaining at $7.8 million.
It helps Arizona reach the salary floor, obviously. Mm-hmm. And maybe they need that because they're going to be offloading salary themselves over the next couple of days.
Interesting.
But it seemed like, okay, you're taking that problem away and you're that in addition to only receiving a fifth round pick for Dyson Mayo, who's a competent player and a guy who could probably just help you be who you want to be for the next little while. It was a little bit
it's
strange.
It's the facilitation period. We're going to see some moves
it's
like this.
It's facilitation period.
Another move
that
happened yesterday.
That's where you dump salary. Yep. Arizona.
Nikita Zaitsev traded to the Chicago Blackhounds for a second round pick, a fourth round pick, and Ottawa receives future considerations, which is always fun.
That's the more traditional, like, hey, we need to get rid of a problem and you got to pay to get rid of a problem. That's Patrick Marleau for a first round pick. Mm-hmm. That's Peter Mrazek for...
You know, I bought a Patrick Marleau jersey when he played for the Maple Leafs. I know, maybe the most irrational decision I ever made.
I think one of the worst decisions that
was
the
that?
Leafs have made. not you. I think that's a bad decision.
No, but
too.
It was a St. Pat's jersey, and I don't. There's no excuse, honestly. I love the guy, but
whatever.
Now it's a legendary piece of clothing.
I think he. I don't know. I was never a Patrick Marleau fan.
Wow.
I think that was
you hate veterans.
Well,
and savvy leaders.
He's not though. That's he was like
you hate dad
he was
figures.
No, he was advertised as this, and of course, any photo op imaginable that they could. Here's Mitch Marner hanging out with his kids. That's they like that.
That was
you're
it.
Doing
that's
that
all
because
he brought.
You're trying to exactly. He's like you didn't. He didn't.
No, I don't have an excuse.
He
for
was
that decision.
Okay on the ice for a bit, but like, did the leadership that he brought change anything about how
no
the
Ryan
Leafs
O'Reilly
performed? Exactly, and I guess we could just like, oh, we are assuming Ryan O'Reilly's different. But I think Ryan O'Reilly is twice,
did
three
Patrick
times,
Marleau
four times.
Did Patrick Marleau get a hat trick?
Five times.
Didn't think so.
Five times the leader Patrick Marleau is.
Anyway.
Maybe that's a little harsh, but I think all that was way overstated. Way overstated.
Okay,
but enjoy the jersey.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't even know where it is. It's probably in the storage with my boots. Okay, so this all being said, the reason we read those two trades was because that could possibly be the future for Jake Muzzin, and it's really tough because you mentioned all the off the ice things that this guy and in the locker room and on the ice. He's a key part of what this Maple Leafs team was supposed to look like. And I don't know how many people know that he's actually been going to the rink and training and traveling with the team this entire time.
Was he traveling this entire time?
He
I know
traveled.
He was in I know he was with the team recently.
No, so he has traveled. I don't know exactly if he went to every single event, but he's been very present.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you have what now could be potentially a career ending injury, it's tough to balance being there and being a part of this team because it's probably really disappointing and hard for him to see his dream not being lived out right now. But the way that he's shouldered the load of, I'm going to still be a present force as a leader, as a friend, as a guy that can bring a lot to this team off the ice is really, it's hard to value, but I hope that there's still a reason, there's still an impact from this. And I think that's just a really nice side note that I don't know how many people know that he's still as present as before.
Better leader than Patrick Marleau.
Oh, 1,000%.
No, I think, it's a shame, obviously. I think the one thing that struck me, because I covered the Leafs closely before doing this job for a couple years pre-pandemic, and whenever something needed to be said,
he's the guy.
He was the guy who came out. He didn't speak every day. It wasn't like Tavares where it's okay, it's a loss. It's his responsibility as captain. It's not Matthews who they want to hear from every day and Mitch Marner who they want to hear from every day or every other day, at least with the Stars. Jake Muzzin did not talk unless it was important. So that's leadership. That is saying what needs to be said in certain moments. Now, did it result in anything meaningful? I guess you could argue not, but when there was an important thing that needed to be said, when there was a message that needed to get across, when there was a reason to take bullets, Jake Muzzin always raised his hand and came out and did that in the moment. And that's, unfortunately, that's going to be a large part of the legacy. Like, if I'm thinking back, I just reflected in the moment. That's what I think about. Unfortunately, he's not going to be here, it seems, when they get their next opportunity. And he had opportunities, but he ran into injuries every single time. At least it seemed the Leafs were in a position to make something of their playoff runs. And that's a big part of their failures is that he was supposed to be this. He was supposed to be everything they needed. He right now is a lot of what they need. If you had a healthy Jake Muzzin, Jake Muzzin from 5-6 years ago in this lineup right now, you're not talking about a single hole. He would fix everything else that ails this team. If you believe in Ilya Samsonov, he is the exact player they need right now. He was the exact player they needed back then, but he ran into a little misfortune. Kyle Dubas's move was a little unlucky because he hasn't been able to give what everyone expected because of injury.
So the fact that this announcement was officially made really doesn't change anything salary cap wise, right? He's already on LTIR. There's not.
They're already using Muzzin's money.
There's not like, oh my God, okay, now they have the space to do something different. I think that what it does is just remove the what if. Is he going to return for the playoffs? And not that I really felt that strongly or confidently that that was a possibility. It still was. Mm-hmm. So even if it was a 10% possibility, we thought, well, we're trying to look at this big picture and who's on LTR and what kind of space the Leafs have. We know now, confirmed, that Jake Muzzin isn't a part of this playoff run. So
yeah, and just to clear up, you know, mm-hmm. the rules and stuff, if Jake Muzzin was on LTIR all season, a la Nikita Kucherov a couple years ago, you can use the money, the $5+ million, to replace him during the year. And then without penalty, for whatever reason, he could come back and play because the salary cap does not mean anything. So you could play with a team that's 5.625, I believe is what he makes, over the salary cap in the playoffs if Muzzin just decided on April 14th or whenever the playoffs start that he was good to go. But they are ruling this out. And frankly, we stopped thinking and even considering this as a possibility a long time ago because it just seemed like we all knew that he wasn't going to be an option mm-hmm. because this cervical spine injury is very serious and something that you can't really risk by playing hockey at a high level or playing hockey at all. So yeah, I think we kind of stroked it off in terms of options a long time ago.
Yes.
But until they came out and said it, and they always earmarked late February is that's when we'll know. They came through on that promise and they have removed that option, I guess, permanently off the board.
Whether this was officially announced or not doesn't change the idea that we've had is that the Maple Leafs should add another blue liner regardless. It's not a knee-jerk reaction that, oh, now the Jake Muzzin's not able to play. I still feel like we've had this conversation regardless that they need to add someone on the blue line to feel more confident going into this playoff run. Do you agree?
Yeah. I don't think you can make the O'Reilly move, which is all in mm-hmm. and be like, yeah, we think our defense will hold up. We think we might have enough back there. You better be sure you have enough back there if you're going to make a move like the one that they did. It doesn't have to be someone of the Muzzin ilk. It doesn't have to be someone making $5.6 million. It doesn't have to be someone that soaks up all the Matt Murray LTIR, removing Matt Murray as an option moving forward. And you mentioned, like, it doesn't really do much for the salary cap. You're right, it doesn't do much for the salary cap. But they still have that LTIR option, mm-hmm. which is Matt Murray. If they go Robida Island for Matt Murray, that means you could use Matt Murray's near $5 million salary to add a player.
I mean, if they were to make a trade, they would have to keep Murray and LTIR, right, until the end of the regular season. I don't.
Well, it
unless
depends,
you're,
right?
You're like,
they
trading
got Ryan
out somebody.
They got Ryan O'Reilly down to $1.875 million. That gives you a little bit of financial flexibility. You could trade Kerfoot.
Where are they at now?
You could trade Kerfoot out.
Available cap space. I'm going to just quickly look it up.
It's not enough to like add an impact
Wasn't
player without taking
range?
It out.
One second. Projected cap space. Projected cap hit.
And that's exactly what Murray, yeah. So they're basically Murray still has his spot
remaining, 4.420.
Which is basically Matt Murray. And you take Joseph Woll out or whoever the backup goaltender is out, and that creates the room for Matt Murray to come in. So there's not room to add without the Matt Murray consideration. However, you can find a way to add a player right now if you wanted easily. Alex Kerfoot could go out. You could retain half the money. Rasmus Sandin could go out. There mm-hmm. are a lot of options available to Kyle Dubas here.
I think it requires subtracting as well, is what we're saying.
Yeah, and eventually you have to. I mean, they might be at the max contract anyway. I mean, you can't just add. Eventually someone's going to have to go mm-hmm. the other way. And with all the options for retention, it seems out there, teams like Arizona lining up to take on money, even a team like Minnesota that might go to the playoffs, they put up their hand and be like, hey, we'll take 25% of Ryan O'Reilly, which is strange to me because they're already paying massive cap penalty with Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. But if you want to get a player into this system, you can. That's not the biggest obstacle. The biggest obstacle is you have nothing left to trade. The only things you have left to trade are Matthew Nyes and depth picks.
Those fifth round picks.
And they're not getting you anything of substance. Well, Rasmus Sandin, they could trade.
Okay, so Elliot Friedman, latest 32 Thoughts column. I'm going to read you a couple things here. Regarding the Leafs, Friedman said, Toronto tried to sign Noel Acciari as a free agent last summer, but ran out of cap space after the addition of Cale Yarncroke. So he's been, I don't remember hearing that.
No, apparently he's a highly sought after commodity, okay. This Noel Acciari. Everyone wanted that. I mean, that's why, listen, it costs a lot to have two teams retain salary to get Ryan O'Reilly. But part of that 1, 2, 3, 4 in terms of draft picks, a lot of that, maybe the second round alone, explains Nola Chari. He wasn't going to go for just nothing ahead of the deadline. That the Leafs were able to add him into that deal, it might work. Yeah, it's going to help them, but it might prevent him from playing on a team like Tampa or Carolina or whatever, some team that they may run into. Achari might end up being one of the small gems of this deadline that goes talked about less, unless you're hosting radio in Toronto.
Two more. Freeman speculates that the Leafs are not in the mix for Luke Schenn. It appears he's currently out of their price range.
Yeah, because depth picks don't get Luke Schenn, unfortunately.
Luke Schenn's current cap
hit. Maybe 2 years ago it did, not now.
Current cap hit, $850,000.
What's wrong with that?
No, it's cheap.
It is cheap.
I know. I was like, we can't afford an $850,000
player. No, it's about the price. It's about the second round pick you're going to need to get Luke Schenn.
They can fit. He's outplaying his contract.
$850 is perfect.
I know. It's just.
I mean, it's still going to cost you someone. It might cost Jordy Ben going the other way just to make it all work. But again, it doesn't. You would have to still subtract, is what I'm saying. But it wouldn't be a material loss.
Okay, one last one. Obviously, go check out 32 Thoughts, the podcast, and the column that Elliot Friedman put out yesterday. He mentioned Radko Gudas and Scott Mayfield as possible options for Toronto.
And Scott Mayfield's the dream and has been the dream forever.
Although both the Panthers and the Islanders remain in the playoff mix. I remember when the Leafs played against Radko Gudas, and I think I came on here being like, I might hate that guy the most out of any NHL player because he's like so frustrating to play against, but put that guy on your playoff roster and I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him to death. Him and that massive beard.
He gets paid $2.5 million. He's an unrestricted free agent. So yeah, Florida's still in the mix though. It'd be hard to imagine them.
Hey, we'll give this to you guys.
Yeah.
Good luck. Can't wait to play.
It would be a bit strange, but like that's how that deal works. Like you're not going to do this and let's not clip this. Radko Gudas, 50% retained, Rasmus Sandin going the other way. The money's right there. You could do that if you wanted to do it, if you wanted to upgrade or perceivably upgrade your defense core. Scott Mayfield, I mean...
Yeah, you've been a big Scott Mayfield guy.
I trade Rasmus Sandin for Scott Mayfield in a heartbeat. He gets paid way under what he's what his value is. However, old Lou Lamoriello's not doing anything to help Toronto Maple Leafs.
He's like, it's not 1.45 cap hit.
1.45. He's also an unrestricted free agent. So ideally, you're getting a guy that helps you for 2 years. But I would make that
move
now.
If you're going all in,
he could definitely help you.
We've liked Scott Mayfield for a while. Anyway, those are the rumors, the ponderings, and we just hope that Jake Muzzin finds some health for his life. It's not just about playing, getting back on the ice, but this is a serious injury that he's going through, and we wish him all the best and the recovery that he needs. But we'll miss him as a player on the ice, but it seems like he's going to be still an impact guy in that locker room, and he brings some things that we can't even really calculate.
I mean, he's prioritizing the right thing. Like, I don't know if he lives in discomfort every day, but I don't think like he's, I think he's able to live, if he makes this right decision, a fulfilling life. So if that's why you make this decision, so you can live the way you are, hopefully, which is comfortably.
Maple Leafs back in action against Minnesota on home ice tomorrow night at 7 p.m. But your Raptors are back tonight. Raptors took a nice break. We saw some guys in tropical locations that looked stunning.
Did we? Who did we see?
Pascal's.
I didn't see much.
Oof, Pascal's posts were... Well, he didn't tag where his location was.
How about
was.
Mark Anthony Kay yesterday, by the way?
Yeah.
Just Maldives.
Oh, I was in the Maldives.
That was one of the most humblest brags ever.
Yeah. We were like, oh my God.
Oh, we didn't even start in Europe. It was at the Maldives. Like, okay.
Yeah, we're not making World Cup money.
I don't even know where the Maldives are.
Actually, Canada Soccer's not even paying these guys. Really great scandals.
Yeah, I guess TFC's stepping up, though.
Anyway, yeah, it looked like Pascal got some time, even though he was at the All-Star Weekend. I'm sure some of the Raptors got some time to reset and refresh. And they're back tonight hosting the Pelicans at Scotiabank Arena as well. It's good to have them back. We missed a little bit of time, but I think everybody got a nice reset post trade deadline, post All-Star break weekend. We got a great guest on the show today. Ernie Johnson, host of Inside the NBA on TNT, is going to join us. We're going to run through a bunch of this Raptors All-Star break talk. We have Dan Shulman. Also, haven't talked to him in forever. I miss Dan. He's back. Blue Jays play-by-play announcer here with us at SportsCenter and college basketball on ESPN. Maybe we'll get some March Madness takes from him. And then Anthony Stewart, Stewie, joining us at 8 a.m. So jam-packed day. But let's do some Raptors talk because it's been a little while. Everybody had a nice reset. Tip-off tonight, 7:30 p.m. on SportsNet 590. The Fan hosting the Pelicans, as we mentioned. Good news on the injury front. OG was a full participant in practice yesterday.
Good timing there.
Wore a brace on his left wrist, but is expected to play tonight. So keep that for your wake and rake ideas. He was initially scared that he might require surgery, but four-week absence was the best-case scenario. He's all good. Gary Trent Jr., also full participant in practice yesterday. He's expected to play as well. He missed the final two games before the All-Star break with the calf injury. So we have OG, we have Trent, full lineup. That's a great way to kick this off, this second look at the Raptors with Jakob Poeltl. The little stretch before the All-Star break was great. Looked like he changed the whole team. Now they're coming back, and they're pushing. They're trying to get the play-in. They're trying to play-in for what? Well, we're doing the play-in. We're going. Yeah, we're going all in this year.
We framed it before. I mean, all of a sudden, this second half of the season is meaningful. It's important.
Is it like a third? The final third, maybe?
Yeah, it's probably, okay. It's probably close to a third.
Like,
because we were teeing up the trade deadline as in, okay, this is the last story. This is the last important thing. And now all of a sudden there's all this pressure on the back half of the season to not only get in the play-in, but probably go to the playoffs. It would be an immense disappointment, I think, if this team wasn't technically a playoff team and getting through in the play-in. I don't think there's really any excuse to not, based on the amount of talent and based on the fact that they were buyers at the trade deadline.
So we're going to do a little storyline watch here because although we might not have had the most exciting, explosive trade deadline, this is a team that we're going to watch for the rest of this season.
This is a team.
What are we dialing in on? What are the storylines that we're most intrigued to watch? Picked about three each. For me, it is Scotty Barnes because this whole season I have wondered who Scotty Barnes is and what we can expect from the reigning rookie of the year. And we have seen flashes. We have seen moments where this is the franchise player that you drafted, that you found, that you cultivated over last year, that he impressed and won a very prestigious award. He was the highlight basically of the last 12 months, maybe of the Raptors season. This year, he's had his ups and downs. And I think we had way too high of expectations at times for Scotty Barnes. It's natural to see a dip in your sophomore slump. I know that's a phrase we throw around, but he was shouldering a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations. And this year he hasn't met them, but there's been flashes, especially as of late, very recently over the last 2 months where we've seen a really great Scotty Barnes. So for me, I want to see that development continue. I really care about how many strides he can take forward, the confidence level, what opportunities he's put in as well. And that's going to lead into another point of mine. It's just how the Raptors go ahead and try to make this next 2 months count. But for me, Scotty Barnes, his development, who he is, and confidence that I hope he builds is a really important storyline for me over the next X amount of months that might remain.
Scotty's low on my list, but I think it might be subconsciously because What trap did we fall in to start the season? Oh, big progression. He's going to be a dominant player. He's going to be the next thing. He's going to basically decide whether or not this team is successful or fails. He is everything. And I feel like we had to temper those expectations, or we were reminded that we had to temper those expectations. And now I kind of just want to see him play basketball without really much expectation. Clearly, he's going to be a big part of this team if it, in fact, gets to the playoffs, but I don't think he has to be the be-all, end-all, and I just want to see him happy playing basketball and making whatever sizable stride he can make, whether it's a small step forward or a massive step forward. Just want to see Scotty Barnes help this team because too often this year, we've seen him not really helping this team, and I think he has turned that corner, and I just wanted him to stay on that trajectory. My number one story, I think, because yeah, can you make the playoffs? That's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing that like exists right now for the Raptors. Can you turn this small investment at the deadline into a postseason appearance? But big picture, it's Fred. Is Fred going to define himself as an asset? I think that's the most important thing. Is he going to convince the Raptors with his play that he's still got enough left in the tank to sign a big-time multi-year contract? Or is he going to struggle down the stretch? Is he going to get outplayed in a play-in or a postseason series? Is he going to basically show himself as not much more than a replacement level point guard, at least in terms of starters in the NBA? And is that the player you want to invest in moving forward? Someone who is merely average at that position moving forward? Is he still an all-star? Is he still all-star Fred? Or is he something less? And is he going to tell you with his performance if you should reinvest in this asset? That's, I think, the number one thing for me.
Yeah, he's certainly in my list as well. I think now that the trade deadline has come and gone, I'm hoping for just a mental reset for a lot of these players that were in the media the entire time, maybe being shipped off, maybe not even playing their final home game.
Playing without having to worry about what the next thing is. They can just be a team now, which is nice.
I think that's going to make a huge difference. Like, I can't imagine going through the trade deadline the way the Raptors did, with not only questions about if you're going to be a part of this team, but which direction your team's going to go, hearing rumors that you could be the biggest sellers at the trade deadline and then not really doing much and adding. I'm sure there's a lot of confusion and frustration in that locker room. Now you come back, you're resetting. You're look around this locker room, you say, this is what we have. Like, let's dig our heels in and do what we can. So I think that's going to actually, in a perfect world, invigorate some of these players that need to be. I think there's also the idea that Fred could be playing for a contract elsewhere as well. So I mean, that's an intriguing storyline as well. Is he going to get the bag from the Raptors? Maybe he's going to get it from someone else. So he was in my list, but for me, almost maybe higher at times than my Scotty Barnes thoughts is what Nick Nurse does with this team, because he has been given the keys to a team, to a car that I don't know how well it drives. And I think a lot of that has to do with him as a coach. And we talked about this on Tuesday, I believe, when we were giving out grades. We both gave coaching and management really poor grades.
Shaky tie rods on that.
Rods are falling apart. And are you getting them fixed? Or are you letting the...
A lot of gunk has built up.
Letting the tires fall off? I think Nick Durst has done a poor job with this roster. And he now has...
A poor job.
Didn't you give him a D? Yeah. So...
But you didn't say that.
Well, do you think he's done an excellent job?
No, I gave him a D.
Okay. So
I'm just surprised that you went to poor.
That's how I feel.
Okay.
And it's really intriguing to me is what he does with this team when he come back from the break with your center, with how are you going to manage these lines? Because not only did Masai Ujiri make a point to talk about the way that this team was maybe playing selfishly at times, that falls on to coaching as well. Like, the coaches need to control the way that the room is operating, the way the players are playing. That falls on Nick Nurse. Masai Ujiri also made an active point to say that he wants to see more development from some of his bench players. So how is Nick Nurse going to manage that? Going to manage playing some of your superstars for a play-in that now all of a sudden you're trying to play for something? So I think he's been given a lot of different directions to go with this team, and it'll be difficult to balance all that.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical that Nick Nurse can fundamentally change the way this team performs.
But I don't think he can either. That's why this is an intriguing storyline. There's players that we talked about for the last 2 months that look like they didn't want to play for the Toronto Raptors, that had rumors that they weren't happy here. A lot of that falls on coaching.
Yep. And I think what I worry about is he could get, not worry, but if anything changes this team, it's Jakob Poeltl. And that's the next storyline for me. Yeah, he might be able to coach up this team better because Poeltl gives him something that they were without. To go with the car analogy, what is it? A new transmission? What are they?
We got to stop talking about cars because we sound like the biggest clowns.
They got a pretty important part, though. A pretty important piece to a car with Jakob Poeltl because, hey, how were they getting beat over and over and over again? Well, they didn't have rim protection. They didn't have someone who could get offensive rebounds. They didn't have someone who could do the facilitative things that good bigs can do in the NBA. And I think Poeltl can fundamentally change the way this team plays basketball, not because he's this superstar, all-world NBA all-star player, but he's someone who can competently play a position that you neglected before. That's it. He doesn't do anything that well, but he does everything in that's expected at that position pretty good.
And they look like a different team in the small sample size that he's come and worn the Raptors jersey again.
So how the big question for me is how this team may change is how Poeltl helps facilitate that change. And I think if we're talking about who can make a difference, on the court, in game, Siakam's making the difference for you. And Fred can be a huge difference maker when he's hitting shots. But big picture, grouping all these games together, How can they change? They can change with a competent big in Jakob Poeltl changing the reality for this team. So his fit and how much he affects everything within this ecosystem or this car is one of the more important things for me.
Okay.
You got one more? We're kind of sharing things a little bit.
I want to play one clip though. Because now the Raptors are back, so they're in the media and they got some clips. Nick Nurse was asked about what his goal is for the rest of the season. And he hadn't spoken about the trade deadline and, you know, where this team is going really since before the All-Star break. By the way, I saw him at the Leafs game the other day. So he's here. He's just chilling in Toronto. Didn't go anywhere. Apparently went to Niagara Falls.
Cool.
What a scenic spot. But yeah, he stayed here. And
look at you. I was hanging out with Nick.
No, I saw him.
Well, you knew what he was doing on his vacation. That would require some sort of conversing, no?
He spoke in the media about it. He did not tell me, by the way, it was in Niagara Falls.
You ever been to Niagara Falls?
Have you heard of this thing? It's a massive fall. okay, here's Josh. Can you play the clip? It's Nurse on his goal for the final stretch with the Raptors.
I think the biggest thing is we got to make sure that we get in some form or fashion. And then get better, right? Like I think we need to get to playing to where we think we can, and I mean we play pretty good basketball here of late. You know, there's been a couple of slip ups here and there, but just want to keep progressing, and I really feel like we can line up with anyone. And you know, we certainly haven't made it easy on ourselves, and it hasn't been easy, whatever, but so what? You know, that's the kind of hand we're dealt at this time, and we got to dig in and just continue to play better and see where the chips fall.
Play better, play in, play good basketball, get better.
Got to play.
Play basketball. So I still don't really. I know the goal is to now play
basketball
and try to win games. So that's why I'm saying it's a bit confusing at times.
I think the objective is simple now. You got to make the playoffs.
You better.
They're 10th in the Eastern Conference. They got a two-game buffer over the Chicago Bulls.
And it's certainly doable.
They're in the play-in at this moment. They are chasing a half game back of Washington. There is no excuse to finish behind Washington in the standings. There's really no excuse to not beat Atlanta in a play-in game. The Miami Heat are the 7th seed. That might be a difficult task, but maybe they can avoid that altogether because Miami just gets in their first play-in game. They have to make the playoffs here. They've got to get into that 7th or 8th seed. Mm-hmm. I think other than that, if they don't do that, this whole season, and especially the trade deadline, is a massive, massive failure. So what do we got? Fred? Scotty?
Yeah.
Poeltl?
You've got to...
The pressures of...
You got to run your starters back into the ground, 40 minutes plus.
Poeltl gives them a little bit of depth, too.
I hope so.
That's a nice little nugget with
Poeltl,
too.
I really hope so, because you're finally healthy now for the first time, which feels like all season.
OG's back.
You're healthy.
Chua back on the bench.
How do you manage that? It's important.
It's time to win some basketball games. It's time to play basketball.
Let's get there.
He's right.
All right, tip off tonight, Raptors hosting the Pelicans, 7:30 p.m. I want to talk about my gal pals, Team Canada, last night.
Mm-hmm.
If you were watching anything, it better have been this, folks, because Canada, United States, Game 7 of the rivalry series. Canada was down 3-0 in this series and clawed their way back to win 4 straight.
The reverse sweep.
You don't see reverse sweeps. You really don't.
There are more sweeps than reverse sweeps.
You sure do. Successfully rallies from
dominant, too.
Did they ever. They beat them 5-0 last night. The Americans looked like they didn't even come to play.
Be a little meaner than that. Come on, you're part of this rivalry.
You know what? I don't want to...
What do the Americans look like?
You know what's next? World Championships. I'm not pushing buttons.
No, what do they look
here.
Like? Come on, push the button.
They look like me out there. I could have been on the American team last night.
Okay.
You know what? No. It's,
well, your liney was pretty
so
electric last night.
It was a full fan morning show extravaganza last night. Laura Stacey, ever heard of her? Best friend. 3 assists, and she was dominant. Every highlight pack was the Laura Stacey
flying
show. I was just on the edge of my seat, smile. I took so many photos of the screen. Marie-Philippe Poulin, goal.
Forget fourth line grind for Laura Stacey.
She's honestly turned her game around so much. Like, we don't really get in depth about, you know, the lineup configurations, but she's really struggled to find her spot, like where she contributes in this lineup, trying to be like a top one or two player at top one or two line, and she has been her whole life, but she's now been slotted in this like third or fourth spot, and she's killing it. Like, it's just, she's owned this role. That line was absolutely lights out last night, and they won 5-0 against Americans in game 7 on home ice, and it wasn't even a question. Like,
and of course, MPP
with a goal.
Canadian legend got a goal to move within 200
for her career. She got kicked out at the end of the game.
Did she? I didn't see that. What'd she do?
It was so dumb. So there's a minute left, and she's pushing and shoving, and I think it was Keller. I don't remember. Someone like kind of threw her to the ground, and then Marie like pushed her back. The rest like, yo, kick him out. I'm like, come on. Like,
so weird.
There's a minute left. It's 5-0. You put your captain down in the hallway. She's standing there watching, and then they won, and she came back on the ice, and they lift the trophy. But I was like, really? Come on.
I did see her lift the trophy.
And she lifted that trophy high and proud. She's at 98 goals now. 98 Team Canada goals.
I was 200 points. 200
points.
Away from 100,
but right. She's at 98 goals. World championships around the corner. The hot ticket item's going to see Marie-Philippe Poulin get that 100th goal.
Yeah, it's definitely happening. It's definitely happening in Brampton, Ontario.
And Renee?
Debien.
25 saves for a shutout. Trebien, Debien.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like a fully steamroll performance.
So I got to ask you now. I mean, yeah, they barely won the series, I guess, if you just look at the scoreboard. 4-3 is as close as you can get in 7 games. But should Canada be considered massive favorites?
No, you can never be considered a massive favorite.
Why not? I mean, they just rolled through them 4 straight times.
And they've had, now they've won a gold medal, back-to-back world championships, back-to-back world championships, and now this rivalry series. This has been the year for Canada hockey in general. I have to sneeze.
Didn't come.
It didn't happen. Sneezing on the
false
radio
alarm.
Might be probably like the most jarring thing if you were listening.
Like, I feel like you're...
that would be scary.
I feel like you have anxiety over it. Like you're too... Just do it.
I would love to sneeze. I hate the feeling of it being in your nose.
You hold back.
I didn't want to sneeze on the radio.
Our mics were off. Just do it.
Anyway, I don't think that they should be considered heavy favorites. There's never... I don't care. Like, yes, the Americans looked bad last night. It's Team USA. It's Team Canada. No one should ever be a heavy favorite, but Canada will be the favorites coming into the World Championship on home ice in Brampton in over a month. They've now won consecutive major championships. They're the better team. And you never really see a dynasty last this long. It's always been back and forth, USA this, even when USA won the gold medal and kind of stopped that in their tracks
with
Canada.
Well, the USA, if I'm not mistaken, won like a bunch of world championships in a row,
didn't they not? USA basically wins every world championship and Canada comes second.
They were.
And then when Canada won the gold medal and then they won back-to-back world championships, they started this consecutive streak where
the pendulum is
holding all the cards, and USA's chasing. And they got out to a 3-0 lead in this rivalry series, and you blew it. Like, that's a pretty bad representation of being a dynamite force in this league. But no, never would I ever think that Canada should be a heavy favorite, but they will be a favorite.
Definitely based on the last 4 games, the last few meetings, they should have that status. Maybe, you know, something for you to consider, because you're going to be capping this event like no other. But... What are you laughing at? You are going to be.
Buddy, I got the specialist hat on for this.
But we know it's 50-50. It usually is it's always 50-50.
And it's going to come down to one game.
So if
you
have to lay a lot of money down to get Canada, which, I mean, we're not betting the States. Let's be honest. We can bet the Finland-Germany games if you want to get aggressive with your handicapping abilities. It's usually a coin flip. And because of this little run here, Canada's going to be a pretty heavy favorite. I agree with you.
I'm not going to set a number, but I'd say like minus 200.
I was going to say 200. Yeah.
Wow, look at us go. We are the setting the books. Contact me for more betting analysis on the Women's World Championships. Anyway, that's just down the road. Super excited. I'm hoping to go to as many games as possible. But yeah, Canada, United States, always a legendary matchup. And a game 7 winning at home ice. Can't ask for much more. All right. Canada soccer did drop their game against Japan in the She Believes Cup, and they end up in last place.
Were we expecting anything different?
I actually didn't really know what to expect with this. I think they've got, other than the fact that they're dealing with a lot of off the pitch,
I think they were set up for failure a little bit, to be honest. And this is not great because the women's hockey players have a big championship coming up, of course, in April in Brampton. Women's World Cup's also this year, and this was not the picture-perfect sort of ramp-up tournament, given that all that the women have been dealing with their own federation, and of course putting themselves in a position where they probably could not and shouldn't have been even expected to put their best foot forward here at the She Believes Cup. Losing to Japan, also lost to the United States. And did they get a win over Brazil, or was it a draw? They drew Brazil. We should check that.
I believe they drew Brazil. They beat Brazil 2-0.
Okay, there you go. So they don't leave empty-handed.
So they have a little bit of time here before their next match, April 11th, against 5th-ranked France. But hopefully during this time, from
they're getting
now
the right opponents. I'll give them that. They're not hosting and getting exactly what they should get out of this, but they have located quality competition for sure.
So they got a little bit of time before their next match, April 11th. So hopefully between here and then, there's a conclusion or some steps forward for what they're dealing with in terms of fighting against their own federation. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a break. As we mentioned, we've got a great show. We've got Ernie Johnson. We've got Dan Shillman. We've got Anthony Stewart and the Wake and Rake at 8:30. So send in your picks for that. Raptors in action against the Pelicans. The NBA is back. NHL slate as well. Neil in Newfoundland just can't miss. He hits another tennis extravaganza
I don't even want to shout Neil out. I just want to thank him. Thank you, Neil. You continue to fund my Wake and Rake account.
He's a gem. All right, on the other side of the break, we've got the A-list.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-list.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right, we're back on the Fan Morning Show. It's Baby Friday. Hope you're driving carefully on the streets. I did have to do the rev up the engine to get over a snow hill this morning, as one road was plowed and one small street wasn't, and so a barrier was created of snow, and right over top.
It's fun until you get stuck.
Yeah. I was worried because the worst part of it was right outside the office, and I'm like, I got all the way here, and I'm not going to be able to turn into the parking garage. It's a slip and slide, but we made it. I hope you're all doing well. Thanks to our loyal snowplow drivers. You are the unsung heroes of this city. Okay, we talked about Full Swing yesterday. Netflix is just pumping out the content. They don't sleep. If you were looking for a job, you better have applied for a Netflix production team, because all they do is make documentaries at this point.
Pretty good gig.
Yeah, honestly, it would be pretty fun. So Netflix announced yesterday that they're planning to release a docuseries this summer. Did you see this?
I did.
Why'd you ask?
I could have played it off.
Yeah. Well, you're a bad liar. It's called Quarterback.
Yes.
And it is going to detail the everyday life of an NFL quarterback. Now, they followed a trio of quarterbacks this past season. Patrick Mahomes, an incredible decision.
Good get.
Super Bowl champion. Duh.
Big time get.
You would think, okay, next in line, I'd love to see what Josh Allen does with his life. Aaron Rodgers, how hilarious would it be to follow that
guy
around?
Step into the darkness with Aaron.
Oh my God, it would be content that you can't even write. No, they decided to follow Marcus Mariota.
Well, I mean, if you're doing the story properly, you're casting a wide net.
Oh, the net is cast.
The breadth of quarterback.
It could not be
guys
more cast.
Who are grinding versus Patrick Mahomes, who, oh yeah, we're on Netflix this year. Let's win the Super Bowl MVP, the MVP, the Super Bowl, and everything else.
So Patrick Mahomes, Marcus Mariota, and Kirk Cousins. So three
now,
of the most...
Now we know why Kirk Cousins was doing the chain thing.
Yes.
That was content.
It makes so much sense now.
That was for Netflix.
Three of the most different quarterbacks. And at first I said, what the hell is this? And I thought, you know what? You're right. This is an impeccable decision, because I know what Patrick Mahomes' life is probably like. If I have to see Jackson Mahomes, I'm probably going to flip the TV over, but we're going to see a lot of
Jackson
him.
Jackson Mahomes fan?
Justin.
Well, I don't know.
He sucks. But you know what? Actually, in second reflection of this, after I saw this last night, I'm kind of in on it.
It's probably going to be awesome.
It's the Mariota story.
I think the Mariota
one
makes a lot of sense. I mean, they probably knew he was going to get benched at a certain point this year. Desmond Ritter comes in. I don't know how many games he played, 3 or 4. So you got that storyline. You got Mahomes, who can't do anything wrong. And then you got Kirk Cousins, who's a massive nerd. Like, if you wanted, like, the nerd angle, the quarterback who's not like all the other quarterbacks, I kind of think they've touched all the bases.
It's going to be good. So Full Swing, Breakpoint, Drive to Survive, now the quarterback. Like, what's next? There's got to be a hockey one coming, but hockey players are so boring. And would they like open up their arms to Netflix to come and follow them? We remember what was the series called? You know, the Amazon one.
All or Nothing.
Wasn't a smashing.
It was nothing.
Success. It was nothing.
Mostly nothing.
So maybe hockey's next.
I would rather UFC? Them do the players than the team, because the team is protecting its brand.
The players would care less.
Of course, they want to be spun in a positive light, I guess. But it's when you have to like satisfy. It was just so clear. It was the message the Leafs wanted to send, mm-hmm. which was not all that interesting.
But if you followed some interesting NHLers around, I think you'd get something.
Of course, people are interesting. They just.
Is that what you'd want next? If you had to pick a Netflix doc to follow around, I think this is a good, open it up to the text line, 590-590. You're a Netflix producer, put your hat on, you get to the boardroom, you say, guys, do I ever have an impeccable idea for our next docuseries? And it is blank, following blank, what is it? 590-590.
Yeah.
I don't have the answer at the top of my head, so
I don't have the
I'm
going
to ponder it.
I don't have the answer either, but we could figure it out. I mean, they've done a lot. They have definitely done a lot. I mean, they're doing
There's
NFL.
Still lots
they're
of
doing
sports.
Players now in the NFL. They do Hard Knocks every single year, and yeah. I never watch it. I don't know why it doesn't work the same way.
There's something out there. We're gonna uncover.
I'm still like,
something right now.
I'm very intrigued with the PGA Tour one, but everyone who says anything about it says it sucks, and I'm just like,
okay, so we're thinking of a new one.
I know, but I'm just like, they all should work if done well, if done right.
All right, so $590, $590, you get to be a producer. Maybe Netflix is listening and you can get royalties. You can pay for your Netflix subscription. Justin had to re-download or resubscribe to. All right, on the other side of the break, we're talking to Ernie Johnson, host of Inside the NBA on TNT, about the All-Star Weekend. Was Utah really that bad? We'll see. He's a positive guy. He's got a good spin maybe on it.
He's not slamming Utah.
No, he loves Utah. All right, that's next on the Fan Morning Show.